Have a seat. I'm a little bit lost because I lost my message. Seriously. So we're talking about being led by the Spirit today. This should be fun. Would you look around under your seats and on top of your seats? It's in a brown binder. Chris has got it? Chris, come on up and give this morning's talk, will you? Okay. We've already seen to that. Let me read to you the passage we're going to be looking at here this morning out of Galatians chapter 5. We're in verses 16 through 21, and it goes like this. There we go. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not able to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So there we have the first few verses of where we're going to go this morning. I think it's fascinating that we land here on Pentecost Sunday. I really do. Because we're going to be talking about being led by the Holy Spirit today. And really what we're about is, through the course of our life, choosing Him rather than choosing other promptings. The question I guess I would have as we begin this morning is simply this: who directs your life? Who directs your life? Did I leave it on my desk? Thank you. You want me to do this without this, right? So how are you going to be assured that you're going to arrive at your desired destination in life? Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, the destination that we all really, in our heart of hearts, hope to come to is to become more and more like Christ Himself. Isn't that right? I mean, really, in deep down, we want to experience the transformation of the Holy Spirit in our life, who is making us more and more into the image of the Son of God. Now, Paul has already said in chapter 5, verse 6, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. He wrote in Galatians 5, 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision have any value. The only thing that counts," he says, "is faith expressing itself," how? "In love." And that's our goal in this life. And that's our hope in this life. To become more Christ-like. And what could be more Christ-like than to become the person who loves like Christ loves? I mean, the kind of love that Christ has. I'm not going to spend time talking about a biblical definition of love, but suffice it to say, the kind of love the Bible talks about and the kind of love the Spirit is trying to shape into us is one that is sacrificial, one that is other-centered. That is what it is like to become more and more like Jesus. And this passage is telling us that there's this huge obstacle in our way of becoming Christ-like. And that is what Paul describes in verse 13 and what he calls the flesh. Now, when Paul is talking about the flesh, he's not talking about skin and bones, okay? But he's talking about something that is within each one of us. Other translations use the term sinful nature to describe the flesh. The flesh, if I had a moment to define it, or if I would define it, it would be like this. It is the propensity within each one of us to rebel against God. There's something in every one of us a nature that doesn't desire what God desires. In fact, rebels against God. It is in our nature to say no to God and yes to who? Ourselves. And I think as we look at someone who is matured and growing in the Christian faith, the opposite is true. They are able to say yes to God and no to self increasingly as they experience this transformation that Paul is describing here in Galatians. A basic mark of the flesh is that it is not submissive to God. It does not want to submit to God and his authority. Romans chapter 8 says this in verse 7. The mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. And let me read you the next verse here too. The mind governed by the flesh, verse 6, Romans 8, 6, is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God and does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh, Paul continues in Romans 8, says, cannot please God. And so there's something in each one of us that's there, that's part of our nature, that's hostile, in fact, toward God. Now, we've just read in verse 14 last week, Paul writes in Galatians 5:14, he says the entire law is summed up in a single command. Do you remember what that command is? Love your neighbor as yourself. That means that I should get up every morning and I should care about your needs as much as I do my own. Right? Is that how you read it? I should get up every morning and I should be caring about the needs that you have as much as I should be caring about the needs that I have. Now, do you find that hard? I mean, do you even think about that when you wake up in the morning? I think that this commandment to love your neighbor as yourself is so contrary to our nature, so contrary to the inclinations that we naturally have, that in my opinion, it almost seems impossible. And Paul's answer to that is in verses 16 through 18 in Galatians 5. So I say, because this is so difficult in your own sinful nature, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There's a great promise in this verse. Do you see it? The promise is this: victory over the flesh. The promise is not being controlled by the desires that our sinful nature has. The promise is that we don't have to let this flesh or sinful nature set the course or the direction for our lives. Instead, we can walk by the Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit. Paul says here, essentially, when he says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and that word walk is essentially has to do with as you go about your life, the direction of your life. He's saying, as you go about your life, walk in the Spirit. Let Him set the course for your life. One pastor, putting the emphasis on the work of the Spirit, describes this verse like this. I read earlier this week, he said it like this, this idea of walking in the Spirit. He said, the Spirit is not a leader like the pace car in the Daytona 500. He is a leader like a locomotive on a train. We do not follow in our strength. We follow in His power. We are led by His power. And when we walk in the Spirit, our lives bear what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. We'll get into that next week. But again, the emphasis you see is not on us, but rather the work of the Holy Spirit. He bears the fruit. And our lives exhibit this fruit as we are led by Him. Now, we come in verse 17 for the reason why we walk in the Spirit. It says in verse 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. There is a battleground going on in each believer, each follower of Jesus Christ. And that battleground exists in the heart of everyone who calls Jesus Lord. Newsflash. The Christian life is a struggle. Amen. I remember years ago talking to a good friend of mine, very close friend of mine, who came to me and was troubled by a sin that they had committed. They had done something that was pretty, sinful. I don't know how else to describe it. But it was serious. And they wondered how someone who could follow Jesus Christ, someone who calls Jesus Lord, could do such a thing. And they were plagued by guilt and shame as a result of what they had done. And part of me wanted to rejoice. Do you know why? That's evidence, isn't it, of the Holy Spirit of God working in that person's life. Friends, conflict isn't all bad. This inner conflict that we have. Even though we long for the day when the struggle against sin will be no more, there is something worse than the battle against the flesh. Do you know what that is? No battle at all. There is something worse than the battle against flesh in our souls, and that is no battle at all. Evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life is not that you have bad desires, but that you are at war with them. And the way to victory in this battle, Paul says, is to walk in the Spirit. You know, when fleshly voices arise in our heart and in our soul, we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, what we're doing is walking out the reality that Paul talks about in his letters again and again, and he's going to do it next week as John gets into the fruit of the Spirit. But he says this in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. That's the reality that we live out of as followers of Christ. Our flesh has been crucified, dead with Christ. At the very best, there's these pockets of resistance within us that we continually or struggle against. Those wars still need to be fought, but praise God, there is victory in those wars against our flesh because of what Christ has done on the cross and the work and activity of the Holy Spirit in us. So the question becomes, how do we do this? How do we walk in the Spirit? How are we, as Paul says, led by the Spirit? And I think the answer is that we follow his promptings. Now here's a real critical part in this passage, and that is that we submit to and we obey what the Spirit says to us in this battle that we have. When we find ourselves in this battle of desires, we trust not our own strength or our own selves, but rather we trust in the one who is all-powerful. We trust in the one who is all-knowing, who is all-wise, and we submit to what he says. And in that, we have victory over this desire, over the flesh. It is the Holy Spirit who takes the initiative. It is he who leads. But we have a role in this, and that role is to actively choose to listen to his voice, to actively choose to submit to what he is saying to us, to be obedient as we stand with him in the battleground against the flesh. Friends, isn't it amazing that we have one who is greater than us in this battle with us against the flesh? That the work of the cross has accomplished this as well, the sending of the Holy Spirit. Now, how does the Spirit guide us? And I think that there's a number of ways. I think there is the reality of the still small voice saying, go this way, when you're caught in a certain kind of circumstance, a certain kind of struggle. I think that's there. But I think there's other ways too. I think we almost by default go to that place where there's this voice that tells us what to do. But friends, I'll tell you what. One of the reasons that we have small groups here at Grace Church is because we believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us through one another. This is one way you can have the Spirit join with you in your battle against the flesh. I've seen this happen again and again and again and again, where someone exposes a struggle and others stand around that person in the struggle so that they can attain victory over the flesh. This is not something that we need to do simply on our own, but it's a battle that we can invite other people into. That's one reason why we have group life here at Grace. I think teaching is another way. Ralph and Sandy Felzer have just finished up a series. In fact, today will be the last one of the series, in which they're actually describing the very things that I'm talking about, where they're going through the steps in which we can indeed grow in Christ and gain victory in our life. You guys are covering things like the disciplines of the Spirit, the importance of prayer, the importance of stopping and listening to the voice of the Lord, different things like that. But I really want to highlight here this morning as we consider how do we follow the voice of God, how do we listen to him and submit to his leading, I want to underscore the primacy of Scripture here. The Holy Spirit is the divine author of the 66 books of the Bible. And through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit reveals to us a way to navigate through this life as we submit ourselves to His leading through the wisdom of the Scripture. It is as we submit to and apply the wisdom of what we read in God's Word that we grow, I believe, in love and in the glory of a life that glorifies God. His promises are in here for us to embrace by faith. That means that we don't trust in our own strength and how we figure out life, but rather we look to the Word of God and by faith place our trust in those promises and then live our life out of that place, even when our circumstances tell us something else is true. By faith, we learn to trust in Him and not rely on our own strength. And my wife, if you walk through my house, you'll see all these different promises. Like you go to the bathroom and on the mirror, there's like, I don't know, how many verses you got in there? 8? Something like that. It's amazing though. I kind of like smile about it when I walk in there, but sometimes I'll see a verse and I'll read it and something happens in my heart. It is transformative. That's not just by chance. It's the work and the activity of the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit not only gives us a sense that we should obey, but as we do, as we submit ourselves to Him, a really, really cool thing happens in our lives. He then gives us the desire to obey. And what happens is that we begin to desire the things that God desires. And that's so different from desiring what the flesh desires. And that's the transformative power of the Spirit. You know, early on in my life as a believer, and I'm not... many of you have the very same story. There were things that fell away from me like that. I mean, bad things. Sinful habits that just went like that. That I was never tempted to get back after again. There have been other things that you just hang on. It's just this constant struggle that you're trying to shake off. This is the reality of our life as believers. But as we yield to the Holy Spirit, we do gain strength and victory. Now, let me read to you, I don't know if this will come up behind me or not, but the rest of the passage here, 19 through 21. Says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, etc., etc., etc. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live lives like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. One thing that I want to do is, let me just read to you the fruit of the Spirit. A little bit further on in Galatians 5, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think it's fascinating that the acts of the sinful nature, or the acts of the flesh, are focused where? Where do they come from? What are they focused on? They're focused on ourselves, right? I mean, all of these things are expressions of me getting what I desire. And oftentimes at the expense of others. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's other person focused. It's relationship. It is fulfilling this command of loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've heard messages where each one of these different acts of the sinful nature are gone through. We're not doing that today. I don't think it's necessary. I think we're all painfully, as Ralph said earlier, familiar with those. As Paul says, they're obvious. And he says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's not saying there that Christians don't fall into these things. They do. As Ralph said earlier, they do. What he is saying is, if there's no struggle, there's a problem. It's the struggle that Paul is talking about here and is the focus of here. And if there is no real struggle, and this is just simply the pattern of your life, then we should take very seriously the warning that Paul issues here. Now, I started the message by asking who directs your life. And actually, there's three things here that Paul gets to, and I'm sorry we don't have time to get on three, but one is the flesh, one is the law, and he's been talking about that a lot, and the other is the spirit. Now, who directs your life? A few weeks ago, Lynn and I asked you this morning if I could tell the story, and you got distracted and didn't answer me, so we were in Orlando. Our plane landed. We had to get one place before we could get to our room. So what do? You get out your GPS and you plug in this address of the place that you're headed to. And it's going to direct your life to your destination, correct? So Lynn plugs in the address and off we go. Probably a half an hour later, we're driving by down this road and it says your destination is on your right. And you know what? We ain't anywhere near where we're supposed to be. I mean, what happened is that we needed to be on a street called Universal. And Lynn typed in Univer, and it prompted her. Okay? And she just hit, and bingo, we're off to a street called University, which is way up in the north part of Orlando, and we needed to be down by Universal Studios. You know, the thing is this. Just like that GPS, you following its promptings, that's what we did here. We just typed it, hit it, and we're off, and we don't hit our destination at all. In fact, I think when we drove by that place about three times and it said your destination is on the right, there were some work or some acts of the flesh rising up at me. Yeah. Well, it wasn't against you. It was like, you want to take your phone, right, and throw it out. Friends, the only way that I can see to arrive at becoming like Christ, the only way to fulfill the law of loving our neighbors as ourselves, and the only way I can see here in becoming increasingly less self-centered and more God-centered and others-centered is to walk by the Spirit. He leads, we obediently follow, and transformation begins to happen. And over time, as we follow him, our desires increasingly become like his. And isn't that, deep down, what we all really want? Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful, wonderful provision of your Holy Spirit. We celebrate this Pentecost Sunday, the giving of your Spirit. We have, in this covenant, what those before us in the old did not have. Because of the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, you sent your Spirit to us. We are so grateful. Have mercy on us. Help us, Lord, we pray, in this struggle. against the flesh. Our desire is to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.